Global markets have kicked off this week on a positive footing. They're eyeing the second quarter final results season, financial results season, as well as looking to see whether key central banks will offer further stimulus of sorts. However, market players are not oblivious to the continued rise in coronavirus infections across the globe, where a number of countries are having to institute more rules to better curb the spread of the virus, including issues of wearing masks. Here in South Africa, of course, our president reiterated that the wearing of a facial covering is mandatory, as he lamented people taking it easy in the face of the growing pandemic. The All Share Index ended the day up 1.4% to close at 56,199 index points. All the major counters were up on the day, with financials doing particularly well. They were up 2.2%. The local currency is also largely firmer against major currencies, trading at 16.69 against the US dollar, 18.97 vis-a-vis the euro, and 21.06 against the British pound. Well, to break down the markets for us, I'm joined on the line by Gary Boyson. He's a portfolio manager at Rand Swiss. Thanks very much, Gary, for joining us. So the second quarter financial earnings season is upon us. And no doubt, you know, as we reflect on that period that is between April and June, it's not going to be a pretty picture because, of course, this is when many countries were in lockdown and so on. But in these very unusual times, what purpose does it serve to reflect on those particular results, which are bound to be terrible? And, you know, to what extent can they aid people to be able to estimate what earnings are going to look like going forward?
I think it's thanks for having me on the show. I think it's a great question. So if you look at it, you've always got to try and take the latest data points. So, you know, it's absolutely going to be crucial to look at this earnings season and see if what the market is predicting, which is essentially a V-shaped recovery, you know, if there's any indication that that could happen from what the companies are saying and what the underlying numbers and what the updates on their businesses shed light on. If you look at it, historically, you know, when we entered the global financial crisis, we saw earnings dip about, I think it was about, on average, S&P 500 earnings dipped about 69%. Currently, we're expecting earnings to drop off about 45% in this coronavirus-driven downturn. Mm. So it's going to be key for us to know is the damage worse than we expected, or is the damage better than we expected? And that's obviously going to inform share prices going forward. The one thing that has been interesting to note is that most people are expecting the forward guidance almost to be removed from so many companies now when they make their report, because they just don't know what is going to what the second half of this year is going to bring. They just don't know what the future potentially looks like. And to think of that, you know, I think they are going to be more hesitant to let us know what they're expecting from their businesses. If that is the case, I think we're going to see volatility pick up in a big way. You know, when you have less certainty, that's where volatility creeps into financial markets as people struggle to price them accurately. So it's going to be very, very interesting. I think it's one of the most interesting earnings seasons that we've seen probably in the last 5 years.
So I see that the OPEC plus partners, countries, which includes obviously OPEC and Russia, they're now looking at reducing their oil production cuts, or let's say increasing the supply of oil. Wouldn't they be worried about that possibly placing downward pressure on oil prices?
I think you're right. It certainly would. You remember what happened was essentially when we first went into the lockdowns and we started to see the impact of the coronavirus, especially in China. At the same time, we saw OPEC actually increase in production, and that's when we got that, you know, like very, very sharp drop in oil prices when West Texas at one point traded negative. What's happened since then is that managed to almost double the oil price just by agreeing to those output cuts. And now they're saying, you know, by August, it's expected that they will start to lift those production caps and allow oil to flow more freely. This is obviously going to be good for the OPEC plus nations because they want to sell more oil. They want to pump oil. They want people to consume oil.
Yes.
The real concern is if we go through a second wave of the virus where we see more stringent lockdowns, where we see businesses failing and consumers spending less, traveling less, they're transporting less goods, the demand for oil just isn't going to be there to, for them to be able to sell into, and then we will see prices collapse for a second time. I think it's all to play for. It's going to be very, very interesting to see if they can, you know, avoid essentially an oil taper tantrum, and see if they can, you know, start to lift oil production without seeing prices, you know, collapse back to, if you look at Brent crude oil, back to the mid-20s per barrel.
So here at home, of course, President Ramaphosa announced that there's going to be a halt of alcohol sales and distribution. Did you see that impacting any of the stocks that are related to this industry at all? And of course, it's negative insofar as this is going to affect the industry and jobs.
It's certainly going to affect jobs. We didn't see too much movement on the day. The big listed companies that we watch on the local market resulted to us was alcohol and tobacco. So it's something like British American Tobacco or Anheuser Busch InBev, AB InBev. They were flat to slightly down on the day, but you've got to remember that these are multinational companies.
That's right.
South Africa is such a small component of their overall revenue stream that our personal lockdown won't affect their, it will have a small impact, but not a major impact on their earnings. So I don't think you'll see the move so much in the share prices. I think what really is going to be sad, from the banning of alcohol sales at least, is it's just that the industry employs over a million South Africans, which with such an unexpected crackdown, a lot of people just found that they weren't going to work today. It will obviously have a ripple effect as you get that multiplier effect through the economy. People are going to lose jobs.
Yeah.
People are going to shut down.
Not great at all. Another worry, of course, is Eskom. They continue with their load shedding, and bearing in mind that the economy is not anywhere near full steam currently, I suppose this is going to exacerbate the situation. And also, I've seen a lot of people complaining, on social media around the fact that they're having to work at home, but with load shedding, that's going to make things quite difficult.
Of course, when we, living through such a difficult time as we are currently, to have a power grid that is unstable and, I think 3,000 megawatts coming out of the grid has chucked us into load shedding. It makes it very, very difficult to be optimistic around any growth and a bright future in South Africa. So, looking at Eskom, it's difficult. So, we're obviously facing increased demand for electricity just given the colder weather and the requirements for heating. At the same time, our economy is essentially on its knees already. We don't have many factories producing. We don't have a lot of the economic activity that is standard is actually not in the system at the moment.
Mm.
So it's very concerning to see that we're having to move to that stage to load shedding. But it's not a simple fix, and it's something that is going to continue to constrain growth in South Africa until we have a solution.
Yeah, not good at all. Gary, we're going to leave it there. Thank you so much for your time. That was Gary Boyson. He's a portfolio manager at Rand Suisse.